Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
We appreciate our students leading us in worship today. They've done such a great job. That's a very intimidating thing to be in front of a group of adults and lead worship, and they've done so great. They're going to lead us during our invitation time and our final song as well, so they'll be back up here in a second. Appreciate the opportunity for Carol and I to be gone last weekend. We went to Panama City Beach. We celebrated our 28th anniversary and Valentine's Day, and it was nice to get away. Thank you. And we don't often get away without our kids, and so it was like a whole new thing, and I think we're going to do that more often. I mean, that was pretty nice. Five kids in seven years. It's been a lot. So we're going to get to do just glad to be back. We're continuing our series on the book of Nehemiah, and we're in chapter 6, so if you have your Bible, open it up to Nehemiah chapter 6, and I appreciate Sean McMahon and him being here last week. He is the executive director for our association that we're a part of, and I serve on the board of directors for the association, so he and I have a very good relationship, and some of y'all have told me that he said good things about me, and that's why he came. You know, not really, but we appreciate the partnership that we have with our association, and we certainly can do more as Baptist churches in our area together as we work together, and we do that through our association. And so this, under this theme of rebuilding, there is going to be opposition to rebuilding, and in Nehemiah chapter 6, there is further opposition to what God is doing in the people's lives and in the town of Bethlehem, the city of Bethlehem, of Jerusalem, as Jeremiah is leading the Jews to rebuild the wall around the city. And we've seen some opposition, we've seen some conflict already, but the conflict continues here in chapter 6, and that kind of shows us that opposition to the work of God is going to be, it's going to be constant, it's going to be relentless. And so when we are looking, and we've been applying these principles from Nehemiah to different areas of our lives, like relationships, like businesses, like church, you know, rebuilding parts of our church, rebuilding our lives to glorify God, that there's going to be opposition to that work in our life as well. I mean, we can just count on it. If we're following God and if we're tuned into what He wants to do in our life and we go that direction, there's going to be opposition and there's going to be problems along the way. And so in today's passage, we're going to see this further opposition and how Nehemiah led through this opposition to the completion of the wall. I mean, that was an amazing moment in the life of God's people when the wall was completed. So if you have your Bible or your device, open it up to Nehemiah chapter 6. If you don't have your Bible with you, it's on page 416 in the Worship Bible. And if you don't have a Bible at home and you would receive a gift from us, we'd like to give you one of our worship Bibles for you to take. You don't have to feel like you're going to steal it or anything. We freely give it to you. We have extra for that reason. So we're going to read Nehemiah chapter 6, starting at verse 1. And after you found your place, please stand in the honor of the reading of God's word. This is further opposition to rebuilding the wall. Verse 1 of chapter 6 says, "When word came to Sanballat and to Tobiah, Geshem, and the Arab, and the rest of the enemies that I had rebuilt the wall, and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message, 'Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono.' But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent a messenger to them with this reply, 'I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?' 4 times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture and the principles that are found here in the book of Nehemiah and how they encourage us to faithfully rebuild the things that you've put in our life, whether that's relationships or businesses or lives or pieces of our church. Father, we thank you that you are in the rebuilding and reclaiming business. And so, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Father, we thank you for your word and the time that we can spend in it now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So in this passage, you'll notice that there is opposition from without. And what I mean by opposition from without, this is outside of the city of Jerusalem. This is outside of the community of the Jews there. This is outside. This is Sanballat. This is Tobiah. This is Geshem. These were neighboring cities and neighboring nations that didn't want the work to continue. They didn't want it to be successful because they would rather have a weak Israel. They would rather have a group that they could make money off of or pick on or easily conquer rather than a force for God in the area. And so they didn't want this opposition. They didn't want this to happen. So they came up against Nehemiah with this opposition. And so they asked Nehemiah to leave his work and meet him and meet them in this town of Ono. And God gave him discernment that he knew that they were trying to hurt him, that they were trying to harm him. And so they were saying, hey, leave your work, come meet us there, and they were going to kidnap him or abuse him or kill him at that point. And so they were trying to stop the work that God was doing through Nehemiah. And I couldn't not do this. And so Nehemiah said, oh no, you're not going to trick me by going to Ono. A few of you laughed, I appreciate that, but you just can't Ono being where they wanted to meet and Nehemiah saying no, oh no, you know, it's just, you can't go by that without at least attempting that. My delivery wasn't the best. So he says, oh no, you're not going to trick me. And so he sends them a message saying, I'm not going to leave the work. I'm not going to go down here. There's no reason to. I've got work to do. And isn't there a great lesson when there's rebuilding and when God's doing something for us to stay focused, laser-like focused on what God wants to do in our life and not get distracted, even when some people would purposely distract you from God, what God wants you to do. You have to stay focused and you have to say, God, what is it that you want me to do? And then as you know what that is, you don't go to the right or to the left. You stay focused, and that is what Nehemiah did here. And this opposition didn't work to harm Nehemiah the first four times. And look, that's relentless. They're coming back to him over and over again, trying to wear him down, trying to say, hey, meet us in this place. And he's saying, no, meet us in this place. No, four times that happens. And then something else happened on the fifth. On the fifth time, this is verse 5 and following, the fifth time Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written. So luring him to harm him didn't work. So now it's this letter, and listen to what this letter says. It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah, and he's talking about Artaxerxes. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us meet together. I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. I love that reply. They were all trying to frighten us, Nehemiah says, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. And listen to what Nehemiah does. He says, but I prayed. How many times in the book of Nehemiah has Nehemiah had some kind of opposition and he gone to his knees in prayer? Listen, prayer is an untapped power source for us to connect with God. We've been talking about revival prayer on Wednesday nights during our prayer meeting and how if we are living defeated lives without the power of God in our life, it's not because God has moved or that he's any less powerful than he is. It's because we've chosen to live a life separated from him because of our own sin and focus on other things, and that we haven't tapped into the power supply through prayer. That's what we've been talking about on Wednesday nights, and that certainly applies right here. Nehemiah is an example of someone that is not praying the last resort prayer like many of us pray. He's going to God in prayer, and he says here in verse 9, "But I prayed." So many times in the book of Nehemiah, he's praying. He says, "Now strengthen my hands." He's praying that to God, "Strengthen my hands, God, so that I can finish what you've called me to do." Listen, strength comes from the Lord. And if we're going to rebuild, and if we're going to build, and we're going to revitalize parts of our life, parts of our relationships and families and church and all of that, it's going to be because it comes from the Lord. Our strength is going to come from the Lord. And Nehemiah is exactly a great example of that. Now, we expect opposition to the work of God to come from the neighboring cities and neighboring nations because they want Israel to be weak. They're looking for their own interest in building their own towns and nations. Now we're going to see that there was also opposition from within. We just talked about opposition from without. These were these neighboring cities and neighboring nations. But Nehemiah's got to deal with internal opposition. This is opposition from within. And it starts in verse number 10. And you know, we would expect it to be from without. But from within, you would think that through all the battle and building the wall with a sword in one hand and a shovel in the other hand, that would grow the people together and they would be unified and they'd be moving forward to complete the great work that God had given them to do. But that's not what happened. Listen to verse number 10. "One day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Delaliah, the son of Methezabel, who was shut in his home," and listen to what he says to Nehemiah, "Let us meet in the house of God inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you. By night they are coming to kill you." He's sounding this alarm. But listen to what Nehemiah says, and this is amazing. "But I said," and this is Nehemiah, "should a man like me run away?" Now let's just stop reading the scripture just for a second. What a great question this is. This is God's man about God's business, and even someone from within the camp is saying, "Hey, we need to hide. Let's go into the temple and hide right now." And one of the ways that Nehemiah answers that is he says, "Should a man like me run away?" There is so much packed into that question, because he's saying, should a man like me that's on a mission from God run away? Should a man like me that has the very power of God at my disposal through prayer and doing what God wants me to do, should I run away? You see, this is an encouraging thing for us to understand, that as we're about the things of God, even though that there is opposition, we don't need to fear. We should say, am I a man? Am I, if you're a woman of God that should run away from the things that God wants me to do? And then he continues back to verse 11. "Or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. I realized that God had not sent him, but he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him." He was a hired spy. He was a double agent within the camp. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name and discredit me. What an amazing thing. He realizes that there's no truth to that. No one's coming to kill him. The wall is practically put up. He's protected by his guard. And he's there was something sinister about this plot to say, hey, come, let's go into the temple. It was only the Levites that were allowed to go into the temple. And so if you went into the temple, you would break the law. And he would be there and he would discredit himself. And then his opponents could say, why are you following this man that blasphemes and sins against God by going into the temple? I mean, they were setting a trap for him, but he realized that was what was going on, that it was someone had been hired. Someone had, I mean, Judas comes up at this point, right? one of the Lord's disciples, hired for 30 pieces of silver to give away where Jesus was going to be at a certain time, and telling those that were against Jesus, "The one I kiss is the one, go get him." Right? This feels the same way, that Nehemiah is trying to do this work for God, and someone within the camp is saying, let's go into the temple to discredit him. But again, Nehemiah prays. Right? This just keeps coming up in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah has opposition. He has conflict. He has injustice that's happening within the camp. And Nehemiah prays. And listen to what he prays. "Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophet Noadiah and how she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me." And then listen to verse 15. "So the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. That's, you know what, that seems understated to me in the book of Nehemiah. You know, it seems like that would get like a whole paragraph, you know, and some description around that. All the people celebrated. Everybody was happy that the walls had been rebuilt and the disgrace of the nation was over. But it just simply states, "So the wall was completed on this day and it took 52 days to do it." Wow, I mean, that's an amazing thing, but Nehemiah again returns to prayer. So we see this opposition from within. But there's also further opposition to that, and this is constant opposition through relationships. Constant opposition through relationships. And in verse 16, after the wall being completed is mentioned, he says, "When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God." You know, the best way to quiet a critic or those that would oppose you in the rebuilding efforts within your life or whatever you're a part of is success. Isn't that right? You're able to focus, you're able to keep going, and you quiet your critics and opposition because there is success. And what happens with these people that are rising up against Nehemiah, all of a sudden, they lose their self-confidence. They're trying to get Nehemiah in Ono to end his life, most likely, and he refuses that, and then there's success, and all of a sudden, they're losing their self-confidence, not because of the might of Nehemiah, but it was because of the might of the great God that Nehemiah serves, the great God that we serve. And that they realize clearly from this verse that the work had been done with the help of our God. Listen, that's the way. Listen, if there's someone criticizing you, if there's someone opposing what God's doing in your life, listen, keep doing it. As God is successful in your life, that'll quiet the critics. That's just the way that it goes. The world notices when God has a hold of one of his children and that child is following after him. And so, verses 17 and following through 19 describe these relationships that were going back. There were some nobles within Judah that were sending letters back and forth to Tobiah and the others. And so they would be talking to Nehemiah, and then they would let Tobiah and Sanballat know what was being said. There were these double agents that were within the camp. Now, this isn't outside opposition. This is within the camp. And in verse 19, it says, "Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds and telling him what I said." So they're saying, Tobiah wants this, and he's a good guy, and you should work with him. But then they're telling Tobiah what was said. And Tobiah kept sending letters to intimidate him. And listen, isn't that the way that it is? When someone rises up against you, it's not just them, but it's like their whole family, and it's all their circle of influence. Right? I mean, this reminded me of some things that I've noticed here in Monticello. If there is something that the county commissioners are going to vote on, and there are some people opposed to it, it's like people you've never seen before come out of the woodwork, and they're protesting, and they're putting up signs, and it's like, what in the world is going on? I mean, seems like there's something major going on, and it's just something the county commissioners are voting on. And it's not just the people. I mean, it's their all of the people that they influence. And listen, I'm purposely not mentioning one of those one of those things because many of the things are very divisive, right? Whether you want the whatever's coming into town or not, it's very divisive, and people choose sides one way or the other. Let me take just a little side path for a second and let you know how we stand on some things. And if it doesn't relate to the scripture or our church, we are neutral in the whole thing, right? We're not going to be promoting a candidate in this coming election. We're not going to tell you how to vote on whatever comes up on the ballot. It's not going to be like that. And I learned this working with the board of directors for the Chamber of Commerce, of choosing sides on different issues. See, we have members on the Chamber of Commerce that are on both sides of a lot of issues, and none of them are wrong. Both of them have valid points. But listen, as a chamber, we chose not to take sides on some things because there was no point in doing that. It would just divide the chamber as the community is divided over these. So there's got to be some places where there is unity. And so when it comes to different things coming into Monticello or different things like that, we're not going to say we should be for or against that. That's not what we do, right? When it comes time to vote for local politicians and state politicians and national politicians, listen, you're getting enough information about all of that on the news, right? You're not going to get that here, right? That's just the way that it needs to be. But you can tell here from this passage that there was constant opposition, and it wasn't just the people that were opposing Nehemiah. It was their circle of influence. It was their family members, and you can read that there in those verses. But what happens? The work continues on. Nehemiah continues to work through it. And number four there on your message notes is that God will provide the victory if you don't quit. God will provide the victory if you don't quit. This is chapter 7, verse 1, and it already mentioned that the wall was completed in 52 days. In verse 1 of chapter 7, it says, after the wall had been rebuilt, I had set the doors in place, the gatekeepers, the musicians, and the Levites were appointed. Listen, I think when it says the musicians there, I think they were celebrating that Jerusalem was returned to its glory, that it was no longer a shame, it was no longer a disgrace on the name of our God because it had been put back together. Everything was right. The last stone was put in place. The last door on the gate, it was all locked. There were gatekeepers, and the city was protected once again. What an amazing moment that would have been. Imagine the excitement, and there would begin to be pride for the city. The walls had been rebuilt. The gates had been put back. They were no longer burned in a heap, and the shame of the nation removed. Listen, that's what happens when you follow God. That's what happens when you don't quit. God will accomplish what he wants to do in your life, and he gets the glory, and it's always exciting, and it always creates momentum for the next thing. I mean, instead of being the beaten down group of people that are living in a city without walls and gates, they were all of a sudden back to the people of God that were being used by God to do something, that God was fighting their battles on their behalf, that God was giving them the victory, and God will provide the victory in our lives if we don't quit, if we don't lose focus, if we don't go off track. God will give us the victory, and it's God that gives us the victory. And listen, nowhere in Nehemiah is he claiming responsibility or claiming the fame for that. He's not saying, look at me and what I did. He knows that it's God that's doing it through him. And so that leads me to number five on your message notes. And this is a very practical session, a very practical point about how is it that we can have the same perseverance that Nehemiah had. What are the characteristics they had? How can we learn from Nehemiah so that we can lead rebuilding efforts in our own lives and in our family's life, in our community, in our church? How is that? And this reminded me of a cartoon. And so I don't know if you are ready for this or not, but we're going to have a cartoon on the screen, and it's going to be an amazing moment. So let's see that first slide page. Thank you. So this is Pogo, and Pogo is walking along. This cartoon was done on Earth Day, 1971, and it's Pogo, and he's walking around with his friend Porcupine, and so Porcupine says, "I'll Pogo," and I just love saying these words, Porcupine and Pogo and all of that, during the message. It's kind of fun. It says, "I'll Pogo, the beauty of the forest primeval gets me in the heart." They're walking along, and it's just the beauty of creation. And can't we agree with that? We live in some of the most beautiful country around. And then Pogo says, "It gets me in the feet, Porcupine." He's walking along there. And then on the next slide page, it's hard walking on all this stuff. And then this famous line from Pogo says, "Yep, son, we have met the enemy, and he is us." You see, sometimes we are our own worst enemy. And isn't that true? Sometimes we derail God's work in our life. Like I mentioned, if we're living defeated lives without the power of God, it's not because God has lost his power. It's because we have chosen to live separated from him, and we've chosen not to tap into the power source that is our God through prayer and through our devotion to him. And so for Pogo to say, "We've met the enemy and he is us," sometimes we can be our worst enemy. Now listen, Nehemiah is a great example of someone that had control of himself and he was not his worst enemy. He knew himself and he knew how to lead. And I want to mention some ways that he led well. And this is going back all the way to chapter 1 through 6. We see these qualities about Nehemiah that we should emulate. Listen, I want to be more like Nehemiah in these regards. The first thing that we saw was that Nehemiah was passionate about the things of God. You remember he wept about the walls being down and the gates being burned. He was passionate for the things of God. And we can evaluate in our own life, what are we passionate about? Are we passionate only about our own interests, or do we look up from that and are we passionate about the things of God? And also, he was clearly a child of God. He was relying on God, and God was using him. Listen, if you're sitting in the congregation today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've not started that journey. It starts with that trust, that faith relationship in Jesus. And if you never trusted Jesus, I would encourage you not to go another day without doing that. Also in Nehemiah's life, we see that he was prayerful. We've mentioned that already a number of times this morning. Many times through these chapters, something was happening and Nehemiah prayed. Prayer wasn't a last resort for Nehemiah. It was a first response. It wasn't reacting to what was going on. It was this proactive thing with God, this rich, deep relationship with God that he dealt with God and he trusted God with his life and his work. Nehemiah was also bold with the king. Remember when he went before the king and he was going to mention why his face was downtrodden, why he was in such a mood? And that's dangerous to do before a king. And so he was bold. And then when the king said, "Well, why don't you do this?" Nehemiah says, "Well, how about some other stuff to go along with that?" And he was bold. And we can learn from Nehemiah's boldness. He was also a thoughtful planner, wasn't he? When he surveyed the city and he saw where the walls were broken down and he saw exactly what was going on, he was coming up with a plan so that he could present that plan to the people and get their help building the wall, because he wasn't going to be able to build the wall by himself. He was a thoughtful planner. He also gave recognition when it was due, and we saw that in chapter 3 when he lists all the families and all the groups and all of these people that built part of the wall. He was letting people know that they were appreciated, that their work mattered, and that he knew their names. What an amazing thing to give recognition when it's due. He was also, and I really like this imagery, he was also a fierce fighter. He said, "Look, don't let those bands of people that are coming against you as you're building the wall, take a sword in one hand and take a shovel in the other hand and keep going." Isn't that something, that tenacity to say nothing's going to stop us from rebuilding this wall? These little bands of people that are coming, they're nothing compared to our great God. And so they continued on. I just imagine Nehemiah organizing. They would sound the trumpet when there was some kind of skirmish on a part of the wall, and then they would be able to rally to that point. I mean, I just imagine Nehemiah telling the people, listen, when it's your time for a break or whatever, keep your sword close. We want you right here in the city. We want you here where the action is. He was a fierce fighter for the things of God, and nothing was going to distract them. And he led the way. He was also a man of justice. We saw this in Nehemiah chapter 5, when the poor were being taken advantage of, and some of their own countrymen were coming back, and they didn't have their land anymore, and they were being charged taxes, and Nehemiah settled himself, and he said, that's not right, and he called them to account. He was a man of justice, and he was helping the poor. And in that same passage, we see that Nehemiah was also a generous man, that he was giving of some of his own provisions as being the governor of the area, that he wasn't using all of his provisions, but he was sharing it, and he was feeding as many people as he could. And he was also, and you also see this throughout the book of Nehemiah, is that he exercised self-control, right? When he was broken about the walls being down and the gates being burned, he wept, and it was a length of time before he went before the king, right? He didn't just rush into something. He didn't act by emotion. He always settled himself. When he found out about the injustice that was going on for the poor, he was angry. I mean, he was ready to fight, but he settled himself. The scripture says he had a conversation with himself, right? How many of us could learn from that? That when something surprises us and when something is not the way that we think that it should be, that we would settle ourselves and we would pray about it and we would come up and just calm down, right? And then approach a solution. It would be completely different. And I'll say this again. He was prayerful. I mean, he all the time is praying. Something's coming up, he's praying. He's praying that God opens up a door and he talks to the king. It's just all over the book. And I like this one too. He was a finisher. He did not quit. He certainly, if he was going to come up with excuses of why someone could quit, it would have been Nehemiah, right? He was opposed from outside and with inside, and it was skirmishes, and the people were tired. I mean, there were many reasons to quit, but he didn't quit. And he finished. The wall was finished in 52 days, and then the whole city was restored. And lastly, he was a man of focus. He was a man that would focus on what God gave him to do, and nothing was going to keep him off of it. He wasn't going to go to the right or to the left. He wasn't going to be persuaded to go somewhere and do things that he shouldn't do, because he was laser-like focused on what God had him to do, which really says to us that he was God-focused. It was about God's will and what God was doing, not these distractions. So when we strive to have these characteristics in our life and focus on our great God and not focus on all the distractions, and focus on what he has for us to do, we will have the victory, and we'll finish the work that God's given us. I don't know if you've built anything or you've done anything that was somewhat hard to do and then been able to stand back and look at it. I remember cutting the grass on a hot summer day, and then as I'm putting the tools up, just kind of looking at it, you know, the driveway's edge, the grass looks good, and just to stand back and go, you know what, good job. Way to be a finisher, especially when it's 100 degrees, 100% humidity. That's a tough thing. But sometimes it's good just to stand back, and it's good for us to finish what God gives us to do, isn't it? I mean, God's clearly giving us. God's not done with our church. He's not done with our lives, and God's given us something to do, and how great it will be to work hard at it and to come together as a people to finish what God's given us to do. And not allow any distractions to lead us one way or the other and to get sidetracked or even let ourselves be our own worst enemy, but we keep moving forward. We keep focusing on the plan. We don't let opposition from outside keep us from doing what God wants us to do, and we don't even let opposition from inside keep us from doing what God wants us to do. We just keep doing what God wants us to do. It's an amazing story, this book of Nehemiah. And so we're fixing to have the invitation, and it's typical of me to go a little bit longer after I've had a week off. I think it builds up or something. And so we're going to have a moment of invitation. And every Sunday morning, we have an invitation like this. It's either right after or it's during a part, like we're going to go during today, where music is played, and this is time for us to do business with God. This is not a transition to lunch. Lunch is coming soon enough, and it'll still be there. But what this is a time for us to consider what God said to us through the music, what God said through his word, and what even God was saying to you. It might be completely different than anyone else in the room, but God was speaking to you. And the way that you can do that is you can pray and you can spend some time with God right where you are. This altar is always open to come down here and kneel and just give some things over to God. This is also a time that we would make public decisions. If you want to join this church or you want to be baptized or you have another need, this is a time that you can do business with God. And so we're not going to rush this time, but we're going to spend this time. So I'm going to ask everyone to stand. We're going to have a word of prayer as we start our invitation time as our students lead us in our invitation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. And Father, we thank you for this book of Nehemiah and how it challenges us to be your people focused on your work and not giving up. Father, what a great motivating message Nehemiah has for us. So Father, I pray during this time that we would do business with you and that Father, we would commit ourselves to you anew, knowing that you are worthy of our lives, that you are worthy of our work and worthy of our worship. So Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.